Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
On this Tuesday night, McMonagle here with you for our five-hour ride to midnight. As I got you for the next 5 hours, 888-808-1019. Big Zoo on the other side. And again, taking your phone calls right here on The Fan until midnight. You know, I did my Monday overnight show. So Sunday night into Monday morning. I was off yesterday. And I didn't get a chance to discuss... Well, I mean, a lot happened. We'll get to the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. We will get to maybe some more ideas about the coaching candidates, as I suppose Bill Belichick has thrusted his name back into the conversation. We'll talk about Steve Cohen. We'll talk about the trade. I did a little bit on the Brandon Nimmo trade. I didn't get a chance to talk about Hal Steinbrenner in what was one of the more idiotic, and maybe that's a bit strong, but for a man who should be trying to end the narratives that he doesn't care, that he's a businessman more than he is a baseball man, that he doesn't care about winning. Like, for someone who should be trying to get the fan base off of those narratives, and I think he desperately is, and I think that's what you heard the other day, was him trying to be honest with you, and he thinks honesty is the best policy, and that's never the truth. That should be. It should be the truth. But he just said things I cannot believe he said. It was one of the more, I mean, all it did was emphasize all of the narratives that the Yankee fans have a problem with. Because, like, you can't just speak as if, like, the first thing out of your mouth can't be, ideally, we want a lower payroll. Like, you just, like, I love the man. I do. And I think he gets way too much flack, and I'm still there. Because let's be honest, we're going to go through all the different things he said, and we're going to talk about this team, and we're going to talk about what they need to do this offseason. And we're going to talk about what the Mets need to do this offseason. And I don't care what the GM says. I don't care what the owner says. I don't care what Cohen says. And ultimately, does it matter what this owner says in Hal Steinbrenner? All that matters is what gets done on the field. That's what matters. That's what matters. But when we talk about a fan base that even after 94 wins, even after that being the most wins in the American League, after being in the World Series last year, don't care about any of it. They don't want to hear that you want a lower payroll. Even though he said that, you know, in all honesty, you know he's not going to. He's not going to lower payroll. Because the Yankees presently constituted can't afford to lower payroll and still have a championship level team. And he said as much, but that gets lost. No one wants to, no one, once you say my ideally I want a lower payroll, that's all that is heard. It's not, well, obviously I'm not going to. No one cares. That's out the window. When you start, he just turned the Yankee conversation this entire offseason into the term crying poverty. That is going to be said in every phone call I take. It's going to be said every conversation around the entire offseason. It's going to be said every time a free agent goes off the board. Sonny Gray gets traded to the Red Sox. See, Red Sox are interested. Yankees are too busy crying poverty. And that one in particular. Like, if you are going to be asked about whether or not you turn a profit, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think he's flat out lying to you. Do I think that they took a loss? I don't know. Do I think they're making money hand over fist? Probably not. Probably not. You've heard other executives, Steve Phillips, talked about this. I don't think the Yankees are making money hand over fist. I think their expenses are greater than we think. But if Hal Steinbrenner is so desperate to get that message out, the message that you constantly say I should spend more money, you don't know. Nobody asks about how much money I'm doling out. Nobody cares. All you care about is the projected revenue. Revenue. You don't understand. If you want that message to be out there, Al, then show us. Open up the books and show us how you're not making money. Show us. Don't, if you're desperate to tell us and you're desperate for us to understand that it's not every, that it's not I'm making money hand over fist and partying on my yacht, that sure, the value of the company, and that's pretty much where owners make money when they sell the company. Yeah, sure, it's worth $10 billion, but I'm doling out this, and I'm doling out that, and I'm like, then show us. Show us how you're losing money. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. It was the most idiotic answer. You cannot stand there as a billionaire with everything going on in the world right now and complain about your bills, whether it's fair or unfair. And the idea that he is the businessman that we think he is, and the guy who has run the Yankees to a level of success, whether you want to admit it or not, the idea that he doesn't understand that he can't get on a microphone or speak into a camera and tell his fan base that's trying to afford to go to his games and pay the food prices and pay $50 for parking, that, well, you know, really, I mean, no one's talking about how all my bills. Like, the idea he wasn't aware that that was going to land like a lead balloon is beyond me. It's as bad as you might think he is as an owner, he's worse at PR. That was the worst. I could not believe that he was willing to say the Yankees don't make money without doling out hard proof that they don't. And then, even then, no one's going to care. Your team is evaluated at $10 billion. It was beyond stupid. It doesn't make it not true. It makes it dumb to try and, like, focus on the things you did say that made sense. Like the Dodgers and the complaint about what the Dodgers are and the Yankees should be there and the money that is spent and that you and the Mets are right there. Don't be afraid to say the Mets won 83 games. They spent how much money? How much money have the Mets spent? How much money have I spent? What does it prove? Focus on that as opposed to talking about bills. Because that is the truth. Nobody wants to say it. Everyone, we want to talk about the Dodgers and winning their championship. And I just heard Lugie yelling about it. You got to compete with the Dodgers and you got to be right there with the Dodgers. And the Dodgers make the Yankees look bad and it's embarrassing and it's this and it's that. And all the money they spent. And the money they spend, a lot of it is because of Ohtani's contract and what they're able to do with it. But fine, they spend a lot of money. They spent $100 million more than the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees spent more than the Toronto Blue Jays. The Mets spent more than the Toronto Blue Jays. And the truth is, the Blue Jays were two outs away from winning Game 7 of the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers in their building. The Dodgers didn't win 1,000 games and host Game 7. The 94-win Toronto Blue Jays, who were in last place last year, who now everyone says the Yankees, if they run it back, can't win. Yankees can't win. If they run it back, not good enough. Can't win. Can't win. The Blue Jays ran back a last place team that spend less money than the New York Yankees. They failed out on Juan Soto, too. They weren't willing to go the extra mile for Juan Soto either. The only one who would take their money was Santander, and he paid no role in it. They rolled back the same exact team that finished in last place. The same team that finished in last place, they rolled it back. And going into the season, I don't think anybody thought they'd be good enough to win 94 games, win the division, and be two outs away with their closer on the mound from winning Game 7 against the Los Angeles Dodgers at home. And that the least expensive player on the Dodgers was the one who was going to kill them. That's the truth. That's the truth. Nobody wants to hear it, Hal. Nobody wants to hear it from me at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. They certainly don't want to hear it from you. And the idea he's not aware of that, it troubles me more than the actual things he said. Because we all know he's raising payroll. We all know he's keeping it right around that number. He's not diminishing payroll. The team's not good enough. We all know it. But the fact of the matter is, they could do everything you want them to do. They could go get Tucker. They could go bring in Bo Bichette. They can go trade for Skubal. They can do whatever you want them to do, and it doesn't guarantee them anything. And if they lost, you would say the same things. You would say, oh, it's the same thing year after year. I mean, what exactly does that mean? It's the same thing year after year. They went out 2 years ago and traded for the best offensive player in free agency or available. They went out in 3 years ago. They signed the greatest right-handed hitter maybe of our generation in Judge and gave him $400 million, $360 million. Then they traded for the best offensive player in the game. Then they lost the best offensive player in the game, and they pivoted to the best available starting pitcher in the game. And gave him an 8-year contract and spent a ton of money. And they've got how much money invested in Cole and how much money invested in Rodon and how much money invested in Freed and how much money invested in Judge and how much money invested in Giancarlo Stanton when they traded for the MVP of the league that year in 2018. Hal Steinbrenner is not the problem, but he made himself the problem with just idiotic things that reinforce the narrative that he is the problem. And he was trying to do the opposite. I'm a Brian Cashman defender. I think it's a hell of a lot harder to do his job than people think. But he is so much more the problem. Hal is spending at the top of the league. He's not the Dodgers. He doesn't believe that whether you think he, you know, cares about it. Of course he cares about it. Of course he wants to win. Does he want to win as much as his father? Is it like breathing? Is it everything to him? Maybe not. But here's the thing about that. You don't need that to win. Because for the entire decade of the 80s, George felt that way and didn't win a damn thing. And by the early 90s, he built a miserable baseball team that Hal hasn't come close to building. That's the truth. And if you think that, you know, Jim Crane of the Astros, who has, you know, pretty much built, outside of the Dodgers of recent take here, the best productive postseason team with multiple championships of this generation. If you think they win because he's desperate for winning like air, that's not it. That's not it. It's just not it. They can spend more money and lose. They have spent enough money to win. If they run it back, I know no one wants to hear it. I don't want them to run it back. I want improvements. I think they can go out and make improvements. But the fact of the matter is, if they bring back Bellinger and they go attack this thing with Cole and that rotation, can they win? They can. They can. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to say it. Everyone's going to call me a Yankee shill for it. That's the truth. The truth is the Blue Jays, who spend less money and have less talent, took the Dodgers, who were healthier than they were 2 years ago, to Game 7 and were up in the ninth inning of Game 7 at home. That's the truth. A team that finished in last place went to Game 7 of the World Series. And it wasn't about how much money they spent, and it wasn't about how they didn't run it back. They played better. They changed their hitting approach, and they played better. And Clement went on fire, and Vladimir Guerrero went on, just absolutely caught fire, and that's why they won. And it's not because the owner is desperate for winning like he's desperate for air. But Hal said things that you can't say. But ultimately, it's not about what he says. It's about what he does. And if you think he doesn't care, if you think it's not enough, if you think, you know, as I heard today, you know, Steve Cohen cares more. Steve Cohen may care more. His team did worse. Steve Cohen may care more. He lost out to the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds care more? I guess that's it. The Reds care more. The Yankees are running a business. That's a fact. The days of him outspending everybody are over. We know this. That's why, and the other thing too, he's supporting a cap, which will probably never happen. But you want to know the honest to God truth? Like, and did it surprise me? A couple other things he said. Did it surprise me that he was so, you know, talking about the competitive balance and seemed to be more concerned with competitive balance and the state of Major League Baseball than he is the New York Yankees? It does in certain ways, yeah. And again, another thing that just looks like a bad look. It looks like a bad look. He's more interested in the Pittsburgh Pirate fans and other teams having a competitive balance and, you know, the betterment of the sport than he is the idea of collecting trophy for the New York Yankees. That's what it comes off as. But I'll tell you the truth. Here's the thing about the cap. In today's baseball, with the Dodgers, with Steve Cohen, I don't know if the cap hurts the New York Yankees. Like, if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I'm tired of paying taxes to other teams. I'm tired of revenue sharing. I'm tired of footing the bill for other teams. I think we all don't like paying taxes. If there is a floor and there is a cap and they can limit revenue sharing and you can only go to a certain number and you stop the Dodgers from going crazy, because here's the thing. The Pittsburgh Pirates aren't, this isn't the NFL with revenue sharing and everyone's making the same amount of money. They're not. Every team isn't going to the cap. The Yankees, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Blue Jays, it's going to be the same teams at the top spending as much money. He's going to go right to the limit of the cap. And it's going to prevent the Dodgers from outspending him and the Mets from outspending him. And the fact is, he knows he can't go there. The cap might be better for the Yankees to go win, because they're going to be at the top. But you can't have the Dodgers deferring, you know, $68 million of a $70 million every year deal to Shohei Ohtani. There was a lot of truth in what he said. There's a lot of reasonability in what he said. There are things that make sense. But he's so desperate to defend himself, like the Yankees are year in and year out, desperate to defend themselves, that when presented with the opportunity about, well, we all assume you make a ton of money, I wouldn't be so sure. Like, why?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The worst thing that could have happened for Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen in this last baseball season was the Dodgers winning again and spending more money than they did, because then the perception out there is that that's the only way to win now. Like, the Dodgers spent more money, they're blowing you out of the water with the payroll, and they're winning and you guys are not. Now, Hal Steinbrenner was asked a question sort of like that yesterday, and he said, hey, we spent a lot of money, you know, second and third in baseball, and look where we ended up. The Mets didn't make the playoffs, and we were out. So, I mean, but you also had a team in the Toronto Blue Jays that was right there, probably should have won the World Series. It spends a lot of money, but not nearly as much as the Mets and Yankees. So everybody wants that issue to be black or white. Like, you spend money and you win, or you don't have to spend money to win. I mean, there really isn't a particular formula, but the Dodgers have done it the best. And the Mets and the Yankees haven't figured that out yet. But a lot of Yankee fans yesterday really upset with the notion that Hal Steinbrenner is complaining about the expenses that he has to deal with as the owner of the Yankees, and how people don't understand that they're not making as much money as you think that they would
make. Yeah, well, you know, there's other ramifications that go into this other than just profit and loss. And I don't want to go, like, knee-deep into all of this.
Oh, you love going knee-deep into all of it.
But there's depreciation, there's tax write-offs, there's all sorts of things that you can run through these businesses that, and by the way, you can borrow against these businesses as well. Or you could be the Giants and sell 10% and raise a cool $1 billion.
Just like that.
And boom, boom, you're making your money back. So, I mean, when you hear an owner, now I can understand, like, maybe a small market owner that doesn't have a big TV, local TV contract, or doesn't have the ticket prices that, you know, maybe the Yankees or the Mets or the Cubs or the Dodgers have. I can understand that part of the argument, but just to give you, like, I was reading up on some of this stuff. So the thing about it is you remember Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers?
Of course, yeah.
So they got rid of that owner that did
Donald
water,
Sterling.
Right,
yeah.
And they sold the Clippers for $2 billion. You know, I think the reason they sold the Clippers for $2 billion is, number one, they had a guy who could afford the $2 billion, and number two, they didn't want to fight with Donald Sterling about racial discussions and things of that nature. So let's just give him more money than the team is worth at the time. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
And get him out and let Steve Ballmer take over. And Steve Ballmer, for instance, and I've been reading about this, bought the team for $2 billion back in 2014. He's deducted nearly $2 billion in assets over that time, saving about $140 million in taxes, despite the team's real-world profits from audited financials. Similarly, owners around the league have done the same thing. All leagues have done the same thing. So when they do cry poverty and they don't want to go over the luxury tax. Like, I don't want to spend money if I don't have to, and then just give money to other people that aren't spending the same amount of money we are. You know what I'm saying? So I understand why Hal Steinbrenner feels that way. There's just something that doesn't feel right about that. And for him, I understand why he feels that way. But unfortunately, in this game that you are playing now, and the Dodgers are spending money, and the Mets are spending money, and the Cubs are spending money, and the Phillies are spending money. I mean, the Angels are spending money, the Rangers are, you know, you're going to have to spend with the big spenders.
And well, he is. It's just that the Yankees used to be the biggest spender for so long. And not only do you have a team that is now spending more than them and winning in the Dodgers, you have another guy in town who's willing to spend more as well, which used to never be the case. So that's why he's feeling the pressure more than ever. But you said it earlier. If this is the way that he feels, and no Yankee fan wants to hear that. Like, oh, you talk about the revenues that come in. You don't want to talk about the expenses, like the $100 million check that we had to sign. If it's an issue for you and you don't like the profit numbers and you're tired of fans complaining about you not spending more money than you're already spending, then you could easily sell this team, cash out, and be in a position that would be incredible thinking about where his father started in buying this baseball team and where they cashed it out for probably close to $10 billion itself.
And let me just read this one final aspect to it. And there's more to it than just this. It's not as simple, but you know, there are all sorts of financial gymnastics that all of these teams go through. And sports teams often report tax losses due to their high deductions, even if cash flow is positive. Owners can use these passive activity losses to offset income from other businesses or investments. This is particularly valuable for billionaire owners with diverse portfolios. Mm. So I'm telling you, man, they employ the most important people in Hal Steinbrenner's life and any owner's life is their tax team.
Yeah, right. And
by the way, you know, given the state of, you know, John Mara right now, what I would think would be going on is you're talking about now estate taxes and things of that nature, and hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon, but you got to make sure that you're buttoned up so you're not losing half the team like they did when Wellington Mara passed.
Right, absolutely. And you know, if anybody was confronted with the situations that these baseball owners have with this competitive balance tax, you know, they would probably end up doing the same thing. But it's just that when it's not your money and you're tired of seeing your team not win a World Series when you're supposed to be the big dogs in town, you're going to complain about it. But really, the system is, and this is another one of these reasons why we're headed towards a lockout, is the system sucks. It just flat out sucks. And you've got this strong union with the players that are going to fight tooth and nail, and they're probably already preparing financially for this because they don't want a salary cap. They reluctantly gave in to this competitive balance tax. Now that's even going up and up and up, preventing these owners from spending more money. And that's what they're going to bring to the table and say, there already is a salary cap. Look, you got Hal Steinbrenner talking about he's not going past this. Steve Cohen's not going past this. The only team that's going past this is the Dodgers, and they're the only freaking team that's winning.
You know, and there's also so much scrutiny in this area of what is being written off, what is depreciation, what is amortization, you know, all of these different aspects of what's going on, that there's actually a 2025 GOP House bill that proposed limiting amortization to 50% of intangible assets, potentially increasing owners' taxes and unfortunately fan costs, higher ticket prices. And this follows the criticism that the deduction subsidized billionaires at taxpayer expense. So there's a lot of fighting going on here. And when Hal starts talking like this, nobody wants to hear it.
Right.
That's the problem. And I know he sounded, you know, agitated and angry yesterday. But, you know, what he should do, and I think one of the reasons why there's going to be a lockout is because of the consortium running the Dodgers the way they're running the Dodgers. They're just spending so much money that it's forcing teams like the Yankees, the Mets, and everybody else who have money to actually try to keep up with them.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to do so when you're one man.
Look, he has all the tax consultants around them and everything and talking about different ways to, kind of limit exposure and to have write-offs and to be able to pay family members through the organization. And I mean, it is complicated.
Let's go to Mike in Franklin Lakes. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Boomer and Gio. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Mike. What's up?
Just calling. I was actually calling about these Hal comments. I think his comments were insane. Nobody wants to hear the Yankees owner cry about being poor. This guy, George bought the team for $8 million in 1972. This is like investing in Apple in Steve Jobs' garage and crying because the dividends aren't big enough. Who cares about the profit he's making? Second of all, his payment, about $100 million to the city, is an interest payment that he got a preferential rate from the city to build the mausoleum of the stadium that hosts his dead franchise. So don't want to hear about the $100 million. That's actually a benefit to him. On top of that, he's crying about the Dodgers finally played up to their potential. Their potential was high because they spent the money. And this whole thing about there's no correlation is nonsense. The Blue Jays are there. The Dodgers are there every year. Total nonsense. On top of that, he's crying about a salary cap as if, first of all, why does Hal Steinbrenner care about competition in the league? Care about winning a championship. I don't care if the Rays are in the playoffs. On top of that, there's talk about correlation. Correlation between a salary cap and competition. Look at the NFL. The Giants and Jets stink every year. So I don't want to hear about this competition that salary cap is going to save everything. In other sports, it doesn't work. And his comments about the finances are frankly insulting to the average fan.
It just basically what it does, the salary cap, any of that kind of stuff that's put in place, it saves half the owners from the other owners.
Yes.
That's the argument is really between the owners, but because these are monopolies, they can't do anything without a CBA that is signed by the players who play within the monopolies themselves.
Yeah, but Mike is right. I mean, if Hal Steinbrenner is talking about, you know, wanting a salary cap because he doesn't think it's fair that some of these other teams can't compete, I mean, that's nonsense. He wants a salary cap because then he doesn't have the pressure on him to spend more money than everybody else because he's got more money than some of these other teams.
But as we have seen in the NFL, owners will eat salaries, spread money out as they know the salary cap is going up. And it'll be interesting to see what Major League Baseball is able to do here with their, you know, with their rights, with their TV rights, the radio rights, the streaming rights, all the different things that, you know, I think that Rob Manfred is trying to get done at the level, maybe not as high as the NFL, but at least somewhat close to the NFL and the NBA. You know what I mean? They're trying to make more money. But, yeah, a salary cap is always, in my eyes as a former player, is always about protecting the owners from themselves.
And they're never going to get it. I mean, like, I can't
see Major League Baseball agreeing to it. But then again, you know, look at how much money Juan Soto's making. Do you think he wants to be locked out?
Of course not.
This was really interesting. So in 87, I had signed a new contract right before the season started. I signed a 5-year, $6 million contract. I was making $1.2 million a year. And I'll never forget Chris Collinsworth coming to me. We were down in Tampa for a preseason game. And that's when the announcement came that I had signed this new contract. And he couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. The Bengals were paying somebody over $1 million. And I do believe at that moment in time, I was the highest paid player in major in the NFL. And I was making $75,000 a game. And so I was also the NFLPA rep, and we were getting ready to go on strike that year. And I remember going to these meetings thinking to myself, man, I just signed this huge contract. Everything's great. And now we're going to go on strike. And ultimately I was the player rep for the Bengals. So I had no choice. I mean, I left it up to my teammates and whatever they voted for, I was a part of the vote too, whatever the vote showed, then I would carry that vote back to the union and tell the union, this is what my team said. And we were probably 98% in favor of a strike. So we go on strike for 3.5-4 weeks. And it was tough because a lot of guys weren't making a lot of money back then. And then all of a sudden, I want to say it was maybe about 7 or 8 or maybe even 10 years ago, Drew Brees talked about leading a strike by the players. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I think he was making close to $30-35 million a year. I'm like, you're not going out.
Well,
you're not quitting. This group of players is not going on strike, especially because of the money that they're all making. In baseball, it's not the players walking out. It's the owners closing them out.
But also remember, too, it's not only about the players. I think about the players who are, you know, making the league minimum, or they're making $3 or $4 million a year. And, you know, a guy like Juan Soto, for the seasons that he's put together, is going to be okay for a while. And some of these other guys that are like, wait a second, you know, I'm trying to live this lifestyle. I'm not getting a paycheck right now.
I would say it's about 15 to 20% of the active players really make most of the money. That's what I would think off the top of my head. But still, it's a very good living if you're a journeyman and you play in the league for 11 years. You
no
make
doubt.
$3 million here, $4 million there.
No doubt. It's just that, you know, those are the guys that I think are the ones that are begging more to get back into play than the ones that are the highest paid in the league.
Yeah, so, but this is going to be an owner lockout. It's not going to be a player strike. And the owners are... If they lock the league out, they're doing it to protect themselves from each other. They need the players to agree to that, and the players are not going to agree to that.
No, not even. I mean,
what are the players going to get? The only thing, you know, because it takes so long for a lot of these players to get to where, like Aaron Judge got to, where Pete Alonso got to, the only thing that I could think that the players would actually even be willing to accept in any way, shape, or form would be lowering that age so a player can get there faster.
Yes, the whole under control years.
Yes, and all that.
Arbitration and all that.
Maybe that's the only way that you could get the players even to remotely even think about lowering these salary standards or agreeing to a salary cap. They're never going to agree to it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
BT and Hoff are both out tomorrow. Somehow, well, BT, you got to go to Dallas. You're flying to Dallas tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be fun on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Dude.
Lucky me.
You know, I've never had to do that before, thankfully. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be here solo tomorrow was my point. But I love being on that day because I feel like most people are going to be driving and traveling everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
But because of the short week anyway, we're going to do a lot of the stuff that we would normally do later in the week today. So you're leaving tomorrow. Hoff, what's your excuse? Why are you out tomorrow?
Well, I screwed up last week with my kid's half day, so I made sure that someone's going to take care of him on Wednesday.
You did not come to us and get that approved, by the way. I don't know what the structure is.
You're not
is
taking
here.
Batting practice tomorrow? No indoor work
There's
off
no
the
batting
tee?
Practice, no.
So now who am I working with? Dove, are you here tomorrow?
I will be here.
Okay, is it just you and I, or do we have anybody else?
Rosie.
So it's just you and I, basically, tomorrow.
That's the biggest surprise. He's never here, and the day that we're not here...
Hold on a second. On the holidays, here. I'm always here. I'm working Thanksgiving.
You miss 100 days a year, man.
I feel like I've done Thanksgiving...
For holidays, understand.
I feel like I've worked Thanksgiving with Dove, like, dating back 20 years ago. We would work Thanksgiving. You were always on the board.
One of us is a turkey.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Anyway, so we got plenty of football stuff coming up.
We do. By the way, how about those Niners last night? Get a little update on that perfect parlay. Your boy is on the board.
Notice BT wants to do the perfect parlay revisit today. No, you did cash a three-teamer. We'll do that later on and give you the point standing. And we'll have the three-team Turkey Day teaser, which is obviously a special with the perfect parlay pick segment ahead of Thanksgiving. So we'll do that later on. Baldy, as we mentioned before, he'll join us at 12:40, so plenty to do. But we wanted to start with the baseball stuff. And just the idea, and because I was thinking about a couple of things off of yesterday with Hal and then listening to Boomer and Gio this morning. Yeah, you don't need to spend $1 billion to have a winner. But if you keep spending $300 million, let's say, and it's not working to the level that you would expect, then you got to change the people who are spending that money. You can't have
both. What are you laughing at? What's so funny?
It's the idea that Hal thinks that it's okay to, we should be able to build a ball club without spending $300 million. You're right. You should be. Yeah. You're not, then you got to hire the people that could do it. And you're not doing that either.
Yeah.
So what I say is you should be competing to win the World Series regularly, and you're not. I don't care about your fluff 90 plus wins in the regular season. To me, even when the Yankees do, you know, get to the ALCS like years ago against the Astros, we talked about in 2023, it just wasn't good enough. You knew that team was not a legitimate World Series team.
That was a JV team playing against those Astros. My goodness. Yeah. So listen, one of the things I said to start the show, if you guys missed it, Free Odyssey app, we'll get back to the calls, obviously. You know, give me a team with a good payroll and elite scouting and elite player development. And to me, that's a better path than an elite payroll, which the Yankees are not number one anymore, but they're always elite. And their scouting and the player development is an issue. So real quick to pay off what I teased before we went to break. Just to assign some levels of culpability here, I broke it down into, and I'll do this quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I broke this down into 6 quick categories. You got the owner, the GM, the manager, the scouting, the player development, and the talent. All right? So to me, I pretty much give Hal the pass, because whether it's him and Levine, and there's always an element of you know, conferring, etc. But it's his team. Hal's cutting checks. I can't crush him. The general manager has not done a good job. To me, like, he has not adapted to the modern game, and there's been too many loose moves with that money. So to me, culpability much more toward him than the owner at this point.
Agreed.
I think Boone is good. I don't think he's Miller Huggins. Actually, I think Aaron Boone's really good, especially for New York, with all the potential dust-ups and the media. He's incredibly good with the media. He's emotionally consistent. He's fiery for his team. Now, we wish maybe he called him out a little bit more, but, you know, blasting umps, he shows a little juice and some fire. I have no problem. I've got more of a problem, much more, with Cashman than with Boone. You guys know that. You with me on that?
Yes, but I also wouldn't be giving Boone an A.
I didn't say I'd give him an A.
Yeah.
I'll give him a B+.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been good. I don't think he's been the problem. I've said that consistently for a while. Now, I also would have made a change of both of them just because that's how I would operate back in 2021. The first sign of the Yankees going the wrong way, I would have cleaned house then. But I don't think, to me, it's more about the structure, the construction of the ball club, not about the manager.
Okay, so now you get to the scouting. And, you know, listen, it's a very deep rabbit hole. So how they actually, and it's very subjective, obviously, but some teams scout really well and some don't. I don't think the Yankees scout well enough. I think they've been a zero on the international scene for a decade. How much money, 16-year-old player, you know, in the DR, you know, 17-year-old kid here, Puerto Rico, like, Well, where the hell are they in terms of being on the actual field? And that's why the Yankees did fire, and the gentleman was tenured for about 20 years, who led up their international signings. He just got fired a month ago. So I think the scouting has been bad. I think the player development has been problematic. I don't see enough refined players. Not talking about pitchers, position players, defense, running the bags, not striking out that much. I think that's a problem. And in terms of the talent, I do think because they spend a lot of money, the Yankees generally have enough talent. Now, it's not a well constructed roster, but you've got, you know, arguably the best player that we've ever seen in Judge and a really good staff. So I can't crush him. So to me, the most culpable would be Cashman because he also oversees the scouting, player development, etc.
I mean, think about it though. This is a bigger picture thing. Where we just look at the recent history of the Yankees and it's like, oh, well, they won 94 games, okay, but they fell short. This has been going on for a while here with their results. To me, since Boone got here, I mean, they went to the ALCS Game 7 in a year where they weren't supposed to in 2017. Prior to that year with Girardi, there was an absence of the postseason for a long time.
Yeah, a couple of 80-something
okay,
wins.
That was bottoming out to the point where, okay, they needed to change things up. So they do that at the 2016 trade deadline. Then somehow they get to, well, Judge somehow, but in 2017 with no expectations, the baby Bombers got themselves to Game 7 of the ALCS. Since then, it's just been kind of mediocre. And even in the year, I said 2023 before, 2022 was that was the ALCS year where they started out like the 98 Yankees, but they never were really legit.
Another swoon during the summer.
Exactly.
Like this year.
They missed the postseason after that. 2024, they get Soto. They go to the World Series with an all-time combination of Soto and Judge. And then last year, just not good enough again. So they haven't built the ball club to me well enough in a long time. You're talking about years. Yep. This is not by accident. It's not some fluke that, hey, the Yankees just continue to get unlucky in the postseason the way that they would make you believe.
I think that's important to lay out, and we have. And what are the differences here? Now, this is where I'm going to, at least, to be fair, you know, I don't know if it's a compliment or just acknowledge here, at least the acknowledgement. So the years that you're talking about, you know, we talk about with Tanaka was the ace and obviously Girardi, you know, 84, 87, 84, 85 wins. And just watching those teams, a couple of years, no playoffs, like you just knew they didn't have a whole lot. Like, you know, Jeter was getting older. Jeter was basically done. And then you're moving on and some other, you know, iterations that we'll really never remember fondly. But at least as they bottomed out there, contrast that to the 92 seasons, and that's where it was actually upticking, 76 wins. And the year before that, 71.
Yeah. Well, their bottom is far better than anybody else. Bottom out is a Mets good year, 84, 85 wins.
I guess. And then even with Stump Merrill, you know, the 67 wins, the 74 wins, like, it was gross. So they're nowhere near that, just to acknowledge that. But they're also nowhere near where they were when they were dominating and they were winning championships. And the Yankees are supposed to be about championships.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Mike is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, BT and Sal, how's everything going today?
Good, what's up?
What up, Mike?
Dude, I really don't want to hear about Hal complaining about money. You're talking about a guy who's got generational wealth that his father built for him back in the 70s? I mean, really? I mean, come on, why don't they lower down the prices at the stadium? They won't do that, but they'll just keep jacking him up for the regular guy. I mean, seriously, he's talking about losing money. He goes, first of all, guys that are that rich don't lose money in business. They're not in business to lose money, period, end of story. All those outfield signs, it looks like a minor league stadium, and who knows how many envelopes of money he's getting on the side to have them put in the outfield, all that cash that nobody's even talking about.
Nah, I don't think that. I don't think he's doing that. Come on.
You know what I mean?
Let's do this. You want to talk about that minor league system, right? Up until a couple of years ago, there was one major leaguer coaching the whole team. All their minor league system was Shelly Duncan.
Shelly Duncan.
The rest of the guys were all... Am I right or wrong?
Yeah,
about
no, I want to... Yes, you're right. You're right.
Okay, so there you go there, the scouting. You ever seen the Yankees make so many base-running mistakes? Lackadaisical BT, you're from Brooklyn. You imagine your coaches back in the day when you played for Ty Cobb and Gil Hodges, you making mistakes like that?
I don't think you have to be from Brooklyn just to run the base as well. They would have lit me up. By the way, I was cadets.
It was a little different back then in the day.
Of course, you know what I'm saying?
And then these ribbons. Then you talk about ribbons for second and third. Listen, no matter what place you come in, you're always the first loser here. Enough with these ribbons.
The Yankees did get a ribbon this year, Mike. I'm not sure if you saw that, but we tied the Blue Jays.
Yeah, we don't take ribbons.
We tied the Blue Jays with 94 wins.
Big deal. That doesn't mean nothing to me. You didn't make it to the World Series. It's World Series a bust. That's it. Period. End of story.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike.
Make a splash?
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, thanks for the call. Listen, good stuff. Passion, love it. Yeah. He's taking money. Now Hal's involved with the mafia. Yeah, taking money under the table. God, that go nuts. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Hal is quite buttoned up when it comes to his business and doing things the right way. All right. So the thought that they should be held to a higher standard is something that we all subscribe to, and I think we all wish that they would subscribe to more aggressively. That's been said, and that's been played out over years without a championship. But I also don't want to make it seem like there's no middle ground. Like, if the Yankees won a World Series, I'm just throwing this out, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, even seven or four, and they had a couple of, you know, you're just running to a better team, you have an injury.
Right.
Like, it's not like this, we have to win every year.
This is different.
It's different. It's about seeing this team and realizing that they're making the same mistakes over and over. And that's the most frustrating part.
It is. And back to the business aspect of it, from Hal's standpoint, do you think that this is a passion play or does he look at the Yankees as a business? Steve Cohen, for example, I don't think he bought the Mets because he was like, you know what, this is going to be a good investment. He bought
it. Well, he's sticking up those casinos, so it's not a dumb investment.
Well, no, he's not stupid, obviously. But
you get the Mets, you get a little in. He's a Mets guy.
Well, no, forget about even the Mets thing. Any team. I don't think Steve Cohen or a lot of owners, now, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are many owners who don't buy teams with the idea of making money and look at it as a business. They look at it as, hey, you got billions of dollars like Steve Cohen. This is a chance to become more of a public figure, to compete in a different manner. The competitive nature of it, a passion play, your family, you know, his father-in-law, all that stuff. They love sports and love baseball and love the Mets. When you're that rich, you can buy something as a passion project. And then your main priority in life is, hey, how are we going to build this thing up into the best, not only business possible, but the best organization possible.
Yep.
Hal was given this.
He inherited it. He didn't buy it. He inherited it.
Correct.
Big difference.
And I think he's more of a business guy.
Yes.
Versus the passion.
He is.
Of making. But that, understood, and it's not a knock, but it, to me, it's part of the problem.
Give me a little more balance, you mean?
Well,
no, I'll take a little more balance.
I know he cares if they win or lose. I don't think he cares more about winning and losing than he does from the business standpoint. And they look at it business-wise. We're the Yankees. We're a brand. We win 90-something games every year. We're in the playoffs more often than not.
Yep.
But that to me is the fire inside that comes from somebody like George who built it on his own, or Steve Cohen who became a billionaire doing the art stuff, whatever the hedge fund thing, all the art stuff that he has. Like, to me, it's just different when you're in it for a passion play, trying to win and being a competitor versus looking at it as, oh, let me buy this team because of the business behind it.
Look at Al Davis, okay, and look at George Steinbrenner, and look at Mark Davis, and look at Hal. Now, I would never disrespect.
Hal's got a better haircut than Mark. But yeah.
He's got everything better. I mean, yeah, I think Mark Davis is an absolute clown, although he did have like 10 models hanging in the suite with him last time they were. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was actually a very funny visual. I mean, if that guy was poor, he had nothing around him. But anyway, to me, Mark Davis he's just not a very smart person. I don't think, and he really had some issues, which for him, I'm happy he's cleaned up. He was just along for the ride. Party and his dad just pulled him along. I think Hal is a brilliant business person, incredibly polished. I think he's the complete opposite of Mark Davis. So I'm not trying to compare those two. But I am, when you go to the Al and the George dynamic, think about how they had to cut their teeth to gain power. It was like their sports didn't even have good TV deals. Steinbrenner bought the Yankees for $10 million. Now, it's a lot of money in 1972, but $10 million. All the refurbishments for the stadium, the new stadium, the YES Network. Think about all the things that George did and that Al did compared to what Mark and the inheritance that Mark and Hal have. You know, it's just very different. And when you grow up in the penthouse, it's different, is a loose comparison, than growing up in the streets. You don't have that grit.
100%. We start with the baseball again, BT. And for me, you know, thinking a lot about this and listening to the morning show, driving in, and, you know, we went over all the cuts yesterday from Hal and all that stuff. Do you think Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees, and you want to keep it specific to Hal, that's fine, because he is the Yankees, he owns the Yankees. Do you think he prioritizes winning overall? Based on everything you heard yesterday, the way that he's operated, do you think Hal prioritizes winning overall?
Not as much as he should.
And that, to me, is the problem. So we could talk about spending, how much, but when he keeps talking from a, and by the way, it's his prerogative, but he keeps talking from a business perspective. The Yankees are a great business. His father had that, obviously bought them at the value that he did, built them up.
$10 million
bucks. Okay, and what are they worth now?
$8 billion, okay. $8.1 billion.
So yeah, there's a business sense to it. But George, and I hate to even go down the Hal versus George thing, but it's an excellent reference point. You kind of have to do it. Never once, ever, did I hear George Steinbrenner speak and think he doesn't prioritize winning. Never once did I think of the business aspects of baseball when I hear George speak. It was always from a fan's perspective. You know, fans don't want to hear about the business of baseball. We're fans. We want to see the team win. And when the Yankees, we have the highest of expectations to spend that much. So I think that's the problem with Hal, is he's too business focused, as opposed to just saying, damn it all, I'm going all in. I want to win. I want to prioritize winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the deal for me with Hal. You know, he does too much good, excuse me, to get crushed. Like, he does enough to get crushed.
Right.
You know, you can't crush. I think if you do, you're being unfair. But what is this now, the second or the third time we've heard about this $100 million check to the city every February 1st? We don't care. I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. You know, whether it was COVID, whether it's non-COVID, you're worth $8.1 billion. So it's a very fine line. There's been owners here where they deserve vitriol. Hal doesn't deserve that.
No, not vitriol, but come on.
Well, I mean, no, I'm saying, like,
he keeps referencing the damn luxury tax. Dude, this is going back for years. You and I first started before we got together. Hal, it's
been a story.
We don't want to hear about your business. We want to see results. We want to hear about you saying it's not good enough. Not just, well, the Dodgers, you know, they clicked on all cylinders and the Blue Jays were hot at the right time. No, we want to hear you frustrated and say, I cannot stand losing and I'm going to do whatever it takes to turn this team into a winner. Not looking at the book saying, how much money did we make this year?
I don't think we'll ever hear that. I love to hear it. We're not going to hear that. And we got a little bit of the randomness yesterday. Got a little bit of that. And if you were listening to the show, obviously Sal just said we play the cuts. And we did. And we reacted to real time to the cuts. You know, what bothers me about that is, all right, if they won the World Series a couple of years ago, and here we are, it's been 2-3 years since. Like, when they lost in 03 to the Marlins, mm-hmm. right? If that was kind of the response, obviously Hal wasn't front and center at that point, but if he was, and that was the response, not that you really want to hear it, but at least it's a little more applicable because the Yankees won in 96, 98, 99, 2000, lost in 01, lost in 03. Now you want to go down the randomness road for a minute. All right, I'll leave you to hear it a little bit. Don't want to hear it now when the last time you won since was 2009. Listen, I've been thinking about this a lot, and we think about the payroll. And one thing that Hal said, and he's not wrong, and I think he said this 2 years ago, maybe three, and it's been circled back to and reiterated several times since. Hey, we shouldn't need a $300 million payroll to win. He's right, okay? And I was thinking about this. If I was given the chance, would I prefer a team that had elite scouting, which I don't think the Yankees do, elite player development, which I don't think the Yankees do, but they also do always have a top three payroll, so they've got an elite payroll, or a team that is more in that, I'm just throwing out numbers, you know, 7 to 12, 8 to 13 payroll range, what the Yankees never will be, understood. But that was counterbalanced by elite scouting and elite player development. Well, then I think that when Hal says you wouldn't need $300 million to build the championship team, I think that there would be an element of truth to that. The problem is the Yankees go deep, but they don't go all in. And the things that we've spoken about for years, when their prospects get here, they're not good defenders, they're not great on the bases, they're not what we thought they would be as hitters. I'm talking about the hitters, not the pitchers. Pitchers have generally been really, really good. And now you look at, well, okay, and you're not going to go that extra $60, $70 million to get the Japanese star, or maybe a Kyle Tucker, or maybe a Tucker and a Bellinger, or a Tucker and a Bregman to get rid of McMahon, whatever it might be. Well, now you have a team that's going to win a lot of games and not win any championships. That's where we're at.
Well, do you need to spend $300 million to have a good team?
No, not if you've got the scouting and the player development, but which they don't.
But they also develop, they spend a lot of money in the scouting and player development, maybe more so than anybody else. And if I were to ask you, do you think the Yankees' biggest problem is not spending?
Absolutely not.
Lack there, not spending
enough. I think they spend it wrong too much. That's the problem.
So that's a different story. But if that's going to be your argument from Hal, well, we don't need to spend $300 million to build a winner, then why are you continuing to employ the people who continually fall short? And if you just say, well, we won 94 games and it's a crapshoot, I think he's buying the crapshoot nonsense. The other counter to that, because there is a lot of fans just saying, well, we want more, and there's a reason to it. It's not the Dodgers. There's not a fluke that the Dodgers happen to win back-to-back World Series and they spend the most. What harm? So while we could all agree that you shouldn't need to spend $300 million or more to have a successful team, I mean, that has been proven. It's not opinion. Yep. It's fact. It's been proven.
That's true.
But let me ask you this. What harm does spending more do? For somebody who can afford to do it, what harm can it do? There's no way anybody can tell me, you shouldn't go out there and spend more money. That's going to hurt you. Oh, no. Buyer beware. That's going to hurt you, spending more money. It can't hurt you. The Yankees used to spend a lot more than everybody else, and they also didn't spend it wisely every single dollar, but they moved on from their mistakes, and now we live in a spot where the Yankees are shoving the mistakes down your throat, whether it's Gallo or Hicks or LeMayu. Pick a guy. They continue to ride these guys out. Even John Carlos Stanton, not as a mistake on those levels, but the Yankees' biggest issue is the ball club is not constructed properly. That's not a financial thing. Although the finances could help get rid of some of those issues.
It could dig you out.
The way the Mets have done that over the years. Now, again, they haven't built a successful team to the level that the Yankees have, but at least they're trying by paying some guys to go away, eating some salary, dating
back to the pitchers back in the day. Sure.
Okay, whatever. And obviously they spend a lot of money, and I expect them to spend more money. It doesn't equate to wins. They won 83 games, but it doesn't mean that spending money is going to hurt you. And also, if your argument, to me, this is the main point. Hal has two choices. Either spend more to compensate for the inability to get over the hump, or get people in here who are going to spend what you allow them to spend better.
That's kind of where I was going, and that's not going to happen. So, you know, we can scream all day. I mean, we've had a million conversations, some very loud ones, about Brian Cashman, and here we are, still no championship, and, you know, Brian Cashman is back here. You know, it's interesting, too, because I was looking at the top 10 payrolls. I'm going to run through all of it here. I'm not even going to give you numbers, just the plays, right? So the Mets had the highest payroll, no playoffs. Dodgers had the second highest. They won the World Series. And then you get a little bit of a mixed bag with the Phillies and the Yankees and the Cubs with early playoff exits. The Rangers had the sixth, obviously, shedding money with the Simeon deal. Try to do that maybe with other players. We'll see if they deal Seager. Sixth highest, no playoffs. Braves, a lot of injuries. Eighth highest, no playoffs. So you do get a little bit of a mixed bag. But that's the thing. Like, if I put myself in Hal's shoes, I could sit here and say I would spend $440 million if I was the owner of the Yankees. And honestly, me being me, I might. I mean, I really might. But I don't have access to the finances. I believe there's an element of truth to what he's saying. I do think that people think maybe the Yankees make more, but then they do. But nobody wants to hear that. If I was Hal, here's what I definitely would do. I would sit down with Cashman and say, Brian, I am cutting checks year after year after year after year. We don't have $190 million payroll. We're not down with the Twins or the Pirates or even the Astros at this point. Where the hell is my money going? Like, that's the money question. And because he never probes that deeply, or I'm sure he asks, but never penalizes or punishes Cashman for not spending the money properly, here we are, merry-go-round. It's the same stuff.
Right, so it's twofold. And they are also the New York Yankees. So I don't want to hear the Dodgers. There's no excuse for me to any other team taking the number one brand in Major League Baseball away from the New York Yankees. And the Dodgers have done that. And Hal is, to me, too complacent with either of the two. The money, which he's not wrong. You shouldn't have to spend more than $300 million to build a winning team. Or allowing the team who continually wins 90 games, we get it, but thinking that that's good enough and not seeing a little bit deeper through the weeds of the, well, we win 90 every year, we get in the postseason.
Yeah.
You have to dig a little bit deeper and say, why aren't we doing what the Dodgers are able to do and have been able to do when we were the Yankees and did that in the 90s?
You allowed them to come in on the stage and swoop the trophy. And, you know, again, you're getting a second or a third or a fourth place ribbon, but your brand has been diminished because you've allowed the Dodgers to do that to you, and other teams are trying to do it to you as well. Like, listen, the one thing, this came up a little bit yesterday, like the Yankees, you talk about the payroll, what their valuation is, which is $8 billion, a little bit more. You know, their revenue generation a year ago was $700 million, which was number one in baseball. And obviously, we know what the payroll was, which was the which was obviously very high. Okay, top three, top four in baseball last year. But nobody really knows how much they spend on the minors. And you brought this up, and you're right. I don't have any doubt when it comes to biomechanics and facilities and all the reading this and the digital stuff and the machines that replicate the exact degree that the ball comes out of pitcher X's name for, arm for the Red Sox, which they actually have. Not every team has that. I know that they put all the money in there. So that's not even the issue. I'm going to go back to the core issue with the New York Yankees. It's not Hal. It's not what they spend. It's not their commitment to the minors or player development. It's that they got too many people employed who have been here for so long. It's gotten stale. The game has changed, and he refuses to address that. That's the main problem with the Yankees.
And the results, while they are better than your average team, are not good enough for the Yankees. And I talk about, well, they had the dynasty in the 90s, but it wasn't just that. They were getting to the World Series often in the 2000s as well. So even losing in 2001 and 2003 and obviously winning in 2009, think about how many World Series appearances the Yankees had in the 90s, from 96 on, and then again in the 2000s, as we just referenced, and then from 2009 on, they made it once. And
yeah, I know. After they won it, they made it last year. That's it.
That's it.
That's crazy.
One time in 2 decades.
Hey.
That's not good enough for the Yankees, and Hal continues to just accept that it is. So I'm not saying that he needs to spend $100 million more than everybody else.
Me neither.
I'm not saying that he's got to fire Brian Cashman and everybody. I'm saying he's got to do one or the other. You can't sit back and say, we're going to keep doing the same thing and cross your fingers and hope that the results are going to change. Even if you get to the World Series like they did, you know, two seasons ago, even if you get to the World Series, that proved to be a one-off. You want the constant success atop the sport. And the Yankees just, I'm sorry, they're not there when you look at the inability to consistently get to the World Series the way that the Astros have, the way that the Dodgers have. At least two other teams have done it way more often than the Yankees have been able to do.
You know, real quick, Sal, before we get these calls here, the George dynamic is always going to kind of creep in. I know you just mentioned his name before. We try not to go too... First of all, it's so long ago. It's a different sport, and he's not George. We know that. But one of the things about George that drove me nuts when the Yankees were a train wreck, and they were a train wreck for, you know, a lot of years in my childhood, was his petulance, was his, you know, reactive nature, and just he was a loose cannon. I think one of the attributes, now I'm going to compliment Hal, is that he's the opposite of that. And I think when you have owners who are too quick to fire and it's just a recycle, new GM, new coach, new manager, new voice, new philosophy, the building becomes incredibly unstable. So I value the stability that Hal has brought to the Yankees, because while it's been as long of a run without a world championship, as it was during my childhood, which is impossible to fathom, the low points of these Yankees aren't nearly as low as they were with Stump Merrill and Bucky Dent and Dallas Green and all the names that we know if you're old enough to have lived through that. And I appreciate that. This is not to be not thankful at all. But you're right. There's two roads here now. You either have to change the people you employ. He's not doing that this year. Well, you got to go deeper and you got to spend more money.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Frank is in Monroe starting us off. What's up, Frank?
Good morning. This is the first time I'm calling since 1992.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Nice. Mike and Mad Dog.
I just don't have the patience. But you hit the nail on the head. Hal Steinbrenner doesn't run the team. Randy Levine has the checkbook. If they have to spend, from just using a number, $5, and they need another penny, Randy Levine isn't going to give it to them.
Well, that's not,
he's
that's
been
not...
Steinbrenner's guy for 25 years, George. He runs it like a business. And that's who calls the shots.
So you think
that's
it's...
the bottom line.
Yep.
Right. That's fine, Frank, and we do appreciate you taking the call. Man, since 1992, that's a long time in between calls. I was going to say, kind of getting on that length with the Yankees between championships here. Not as bad for the Yankees as it is for Frank between calls here at the Fan, but we get the point. Yeah, okay, well, Levine's the business guy. Fine. I'm not saying that you got to ignore all business aspects of it. What we know, let's just deal in facts here. Does anybody think the way the Yankees have operated for the last 2 decades, for the most part, has been good enough To me, it's not, because they're held to a higher standard. So while Mets fans would take the Yankees' success, while many fans would take the Yankees' level of success, meaning be in the playoffs more often than not, win 90-plus games every regular season, have some stars on your team, all that, it's not good enough for the Yankees. And it would be one thing if the Yankees still were the dominant team but just continued to fall short in the playoffs. That's not what's happening here. They've gotten passed by, whether it's the Mets or the Dodgers, as far as the spending goes.
Toronto.
And they've gotten caught by other teams who don't even spend as much to be more consistent, better teams who go further. So there's many layers to the Yankees. I don't want to say failures. I think that's too strong. To the Yankees' shortcomings and losing what once was the predominant team in Major League Baseball.
Well, think about it this way, too. So, you know, you say it, and I say it. The problem is they no longer say it, and if they do say it, they don't act on it. If they're not holding themselves to a higher standard, why should we? Honestly, though, that's a question for everybody. Like, we sit here and we say, and I know what you mean, and I said it, too. Yankees should be held to a higher standard than the Yankees. Well, why are we carrying the mail for the Yankees?
Well, we're not really, because did you think the Yankees were going to win the World Series going into the year last year?
No.
Okay, me neither. So, I mean, we just...
But we throw that line out there very freely, like, well, we should the Yankees should be held to a higher standard. Yeah, that sounds good, but it's not really applied anymore in 2025. See, that standard's got to be created from within and adhered to from within. Now, going back to the back of the day, it was created from within, and it was adhered to from within, and then it was loosely, you know, pursued from within, which I think it still is now, because they obviously try. They just don't go as far as we think we need to, as we think that they should. So, held to a higher standard. My standard is this: make the playoffs, get bounced. That's the standard.
Right, but that's just not good enough.
I agree.
Do you think, and especially now with Steve Cohen across town, do you think that if the Mets fail to make the postseason this year, David Stearns will still be employed by the Mets next year? I don't.
I would think no. After last year, if it was 2 years in a row, I would think no.
Well,
but we haven't seen have to react to that, but I would probably say no.
You know for sure the manager's going to be gone. Like, they've already laid the groundwork. Carlos Mendoza's been here for 2 years. One was incredible, getting to the NLCS in year one.
Yep.
The second was not very good, winning 83 games and not missing the playoffs.
Fired his whole staff. You're on alert.
Dude, if they don't win... Now some could say, okay, well, because George had the standards to almost an impossible level, where guys who had won three championships in a row were on the hot seat and didn't deliver again.
Ask a limited Dick Houser how that was back in the day.
So maybe there's somewhere in between. Maybe that's where Steve Cohen lies. Who knows? We'll find out. Time will tell. He's only been here, you know, as the owner 5-6 years, whatever it's been for Steve Cohen. But I feel the accountability level within the Mets organization changed since Steve Cohen has taken over. And if they don't win, and he expects to win at the highest of levels when you're spending as much as he does, if they don't win, there are going to be changes made. And the Yankees, while they do have success more often than not as far as the regular season goes, to me it hasn't been enough to justify keeping Brian Cashman and everybody else in place dating back to 2021. You're talking about 4 or 5 years later now, and it's the same thing.
I mean, it's almost becoming like talking about the job like Champ Bowen. I mean, I look at it, you know, and we can do this coming up. I'm going to save this here. So there's the owner, there's the GM, there's the manager, and then there's the actual players. I'm going to assign a little level of culpability to really pinpoint exactly what I mean about this issue with the Yankees.
BT and Sal on the Fan, Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Obviously, you can count on them. We have plenty of football to get to throughout the course of the show. Just getting started here on this Tuesday morning, 888-808-1019. We spoke about it before. Hal Steinbrenner met the media today, I guess in his yearly year-end Zoom. I have no idea. I didn't get a sneak peek on social media. I know you said you did see one thing. Uh-huh. Let's listen to it here together. Hal Steinbrenner talking about the Yankees' disappointing season as obviously they fall short yet again of another World Series. Here's Hal.
Hey, Hal. Thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate it. You've mentioned in the past that a payroll in $300 million range is not sustainable, but you've also exceeded that figure the last two seasons. Are you willing to go over $300 million again, or do you intend to be below that number?
First question of the day. My goodness. Look, I know you guys want a number. We finished this year at $319 million, actually, was the final number. So just shy of 320. It's the same every year. What I tell Cashman is I want to know all the possibilities that are out there. I will talk to all your people about them. I will hear them out, and I will decide whether or not I'm able or willing to pull the trigger on them. And it's not going to be any different this year. I mean, it's not like I'm giving my head of marketing an advertising budget. Here's how much you can spend on advertising this year. I mean, they know what a billboard costs. They know what a 30-second ad costs. I can give them a number, and in 10 minutes, they're going to know exactly what they're going to do and what they're not going to be able to do. This is a much more fluid situation. I mean, we don't know what's out there as far as possibilities, and the possibilities that we do know are out there, we don't know what they're going to cost. I mean, it's way too early for that at this point in time. So it's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, we can talk before he goes into winter meetings about a range, but because it's a fluid situation, that range can go bye-bye in 2 seconds. If there's a deal that, you know, arises that I feel would be very beneficial to some area of need that we have. So it's hard to give you a number. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a different deal.
Understood. And just to follow up on that, with the CBA set to expire after next season, there's some uncertainty over the game's financial parameters moving forward. Just will those uncertainties impact how you guys approach the offseason? And if so, how?
No. What's going to impact, again, is what the number is and what luxury tax that creates, the amount, and how that looks in our overall financial situation. I mean, that's all that matters.
Hal, I know your focus has surely already shifted to 2026. But when you reflect on 2025, what most encouraged you about this team? What most disappointed you about this team?
Well, what most encouraged me about the team is how well they played together, how incredible they had each other's backs, how incredible the clubhouse was. They like many teams we've had in the past, never thought they were out of it. Never thought they were going to lose a game. And, you know, when they had a tough loss the next day, it's almost like it didn't happen. They just bounced right back. What was disappointing, obviously, was the result. I didn't like that 6-7 week period that we had where we were making mistakes, not playing good baseball, not hitting. That can't happen every year, in my opinion.
But it does.
And certainly what happened in the postseason was disappointing. We went in healthy. We went in my opinion, playing good ball. And got through that first tough series, and I really thought we were going to go on a roll, and we just quit hitting. And, you know, our pitching faltered as well. I think somebody told me we gave up 34 runs and 34 innings. You're not going to beat the Blue Jays, as good a team as they are doing that. So it was disappointing. It was disappointing.
Okay, so a couple of things there, obviously. And Hal was having some fun with it. Oh, first question of the day, payroll. But that isn't that kind of where we are? It's not an out-of-bounds question. I mean, that's pretty much the biggest question of the Yankees or around the Yankees every year. Not are they going to spend, but is there a drop-dead amount? And not because we're making this up. It's because Hal has spoken about this in the past, right? Now, remember you said before we actually played some of those cuts from Hal that I saw something on social media?
Yeah.
I want to read this to you. Now, Hal said it's not fair to assume that the Yankees make a profit. That's right. This is Brian Hoke had this, right? Quote, I don't want to get into it, but that's not a fair statement or an accurate one. Everybody wants to talk about revenues, but they need to talk about our expenses, including, and this we heard this a couple of years ago, the $100 million expense to the city of New York that we have to pay on February 1st every year, including the COVID year, so it all adds up in a hurry. I'm not saying that that's not true. It is. I just don't want to hear it. The Yankees are worth $8 billion. $8 billion was their most recent valuation, number one in baseball. The Mets, I think, were sixth at $3.1 billion. The Yankees generated $705 million. The Mets, $446 million.
Yeah.
Anybody asking Cohen what he's going to spend?
No, and if they did, what do you think he'd say?
Whatever it takes to do it.
Yeah, it's very simple. First question right out of the gate. Yeah, because you used to operate one way. Other teams have now passed you by. You continue to reference the luxury tax threshold. Obviously, it's not working. So if the Dodgers can just have no limits and the Mets can have no limits, then the Yankees should also have no limits. So I didn't think he handled it poorly, but it's a very simple answer. We will do whatever it takes to build a winning ball club.
Yeah, and listen, you have to be true to yourself. This applies to Stearns when he spoke, which I think he was. And I think this is who Hal is. I think Hal is an incredibly likable gentleman. I really do. I'm fond of him as a like. I think he's a good guy, but I you know that doesn't really matter that much anymore. And I just, for once, would like to hear an agitated Hal Steinbrenner. Not about the financial questions, about the state of his Yankees, who have not won since 2009.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Here's more with Hal.
Hal, when you look at 2026, Cody Bellinger, very productive, fit in very seamlessly. On your off-season checklist, how much of a priority is trying to bring Bellinger back?
Not going to get into free agents, Jack. You know that. We're looking at every area of need, and we will deem which needs are most significant and which aren't. We still need another outfielder. We have options. We need to improve the bullpen for sure. I really love our starting rotation next year. We got to get through April and get Cole back and Rodon back. But it's going to be an incredible rotation if everybody comes back as planned. And I think we're pretty good on the infield as well. But we're going to look at all options like we always do, as I just said, and see what's possible and what's not.
The Blue Jays run, they hit behind the runner, they strike out less often, they play solid defense, they made it to Game 7 of the World Series. For so many years, the Blue Jays wanted to be like the Yankees. Do the Yankees want to be like the Blue Jays now?
Well, look, I think balance in life is everything. I mean, they slug the ball too. It's not just putting balls in play. They definitely slug the ball. Hitting strikes hard, particularly in the air, not that you're trying to hit it over the fence, but in the air, statistically speaking, the results speak for themselves. I mean, you have a better chance of success when you do that. But we tried to, become more balanced, picking up guys like Jazz, guys that can put the ball into play. So I do think you need that. You can't simply be a slugging home run team. They had a great year. I'm curious to see next year how well they do with that roster, assuming it stays mostly intact. But they're a great team. They definitely played better than us. They slugged better than us. And they hit the ball and put it in play better than us. And they pitched better than us. And that's why they won.
See, Hal basically said, well, infield set. Rotation looking good. Need another outfielder. What does that mean? Bringing Bellinger back? They're going to run it back again?
You know, it's funny you say that because I jotted the same thing down because he was talking about the pitching, which I totally agree. The pitching has a chance to be the best in baseball. Got to get some guys healthy, whatever. But then when he said, quote, we're pretty good on the infield. Hold on a second. Teixeira, Cano, Jeter, A-Rod versus Rice, Grisham, Caballero/Volpe. And McMahon?
Jazz. You said Grisham, but you mean Jazz. Yeah, I get
what I'm saying. Yeah. Good God. I mean, it's a little worrisome.
It's worrisome in that I'd like to hear a little more of what Stern said, and it wasn't good enough, and we know that we need to change it up. And it sounds like, now, I still think the Yankees are going to make some moves here.
Me too.
To what extent, I have no idea, but it can't just be, we'll bring Bellinger back, and we're going to have a better rotation because Cole's coming back. And this is something that you thought that might be the case with the Yankees. There's no way that could be the case. They can't be that stupid to think that you could just run it back and have Gerrit Cole come back and everything's going to be great. No, it's not good enough. First base wasn't good enough. Catcher wasn't good enough. Third base wasn't good enough. Shortstop wasn't good enough. Second base at best is inconsistent. I wouldn't go with Jack. Like, they have issues here. You got to restructure this thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got a center fielder who's getting $22 million that I wish he didn't sign it. I wish he wasn't on the team next year. I said that. You know, there's so many other things I want to hear from Hal, and I'm sure we'll get to, like, the Japanese market to me is a very interesting question at this point. But the thought that the Yankees, and I remember saying this to you a week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago. Now, I'm not saying that this would work, but it's not a bad route if that's what you're going to do. If they were to go all in on Skubal and give up whatever it would take to get Skubal, and they try, and they don't do much else except bringing back Bellinger. That's acceptable to me. If they go into they'd have to get a little bit of bullpen work as well, but I'm talking about the main ingredients.
Bullpen, like we all understand.
And Cashman's very good at fixing that, so I almost don't even worry about that. And Bednar seemed to be a very good fit for New York at the back end. But if you go into next season, once you get past April, and you got Skubal, and you got Fried, and you got Cole, and you got Schlittler, and you got Rodon, and you got Clark Schmidt coming back in, August, and even Will Warren, he'd probably have to trade. And then you bring back Bellinger and you have Judge. Well, that's a chance to win a World Series differently. But without a Skubal or a Skeens type of trade and just Bellinger, you don't win.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do that myself. In that hypothetical, I would look to maybe move from one of the starters, let's say Rodon, if you could somehow get somebody to take on his remaining salary and then use that piece, let's say, to get a third baseman or upgrade in a certain way, maybe get a different catcher in here. I just don't like the way the Yankees are built with the first base situation, DH situation, catcher, third, short. I mean, there are a lot. Outfield, I wouldn't worry about, especially if you bring Bellinger back. I think they'd be okay in the outfield.
I don't
have a leadoff hitter. I mean, we talked about that.
I don't deflect. You're right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of positions, and they're going to address some of them, obviously. But McMahon was acquired last year, and McMahon's going to play this year. And, you know, Grisham did what he did a year ago, and he's probably going to bat first again this year, unless you get Kwan, which we'll see. Yeah, it's a very imperfect team. The good thing is you got Judge, you got a couple of top-level pitchers, and you've got a payroll that's going to be very competitive, but they got to go the extra mile. I mean, Aaron Judge is prime. Tick, tick, tick.
Let's hear more from Hal.
Hal, is the Yankees' mantra still World Series or bust? I know I've asked you that before. And is that realistic?
Attaboy, Bruce.
I certainly thought it was last year. And, you know, now we begin the work of next year. That's our one and only focus. But I absolutely went into the playoffs believing we could win a championship, of course. And the team was good enough to win a championship. But they've got to play up to their potential. And, you know, the Blue Jays did, and we didn't. And it's across the board. And that's why the end score was what it was.
Even with a $300 million payroll, you said the final figure was 319. You were still outspent by the Dodgers and the Mets. Is your view of whether a salary cap should be proposed changed over time? And would you still favor a cap proposal if it was proposed?
Look, I don't feel like I'm in a position right now, research-wise, knowledge-wise, to answer that question. We'll always be among the highest payroll wise. We always have been, always will be. Look, there are groups of fans out there in different areas, including my hometown here in Tampa, that come to, and I've addressed this before, come to spring training games thinking their team has little chance of making the playoffs, or at least little chance of making it deep into the playoffs. And those fans would argue that that's not good for baseball as a whole. And, you know, it's a valid argument. Whether it's true or not, it's a valid argument. So, I mean, yeah, that's about all I got for you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
At this point in time.
Hey, Hal, when you talk to players and coaches around this team and about things that you need to do better, what are some of the things that they say to you, and do you agree with it? Just, you know, ways this team can improve for 26.
Yeah, look, mental mistakes, base running for sure, which is why we made a change there. Has been a thorn in our side most of the season last year or this year. Whatever concerns that they have, you know, it's not just them. Obviously, Cash is involved too, intimately involved. You know, we're going to make a change and we're going to do better at it. But if you're asking specific about this year, the base running mistakes was not good, not good. So we've made a change there, coaching wise. And, you know, we're going to expect better results this year, coming year.
At the start of the year, you were quoted as saying it's difficult for most owners to do what the Dodgers are doing, spending. Mm-hmm. And you wondered if it would pay off for them. I'm curious, does the fact that they've now won back-to-back titles change your thinking at all on how you approach this offseason or future offseasons when it comes to spending like them?
Yeah, look, if there's a correlation between spending the most money and winning a championship, I still think it's a weak correlation. You know, sample size of data, not very big, but they earned every bit of it. I mean, they struggle with injuries throughout the season, which I did talk about in that same quote. But they got healthy at the right time. The rotation got healthy, and when that rotation's healthy, they're tough to beat. And they, quite frankly, played up to their potential. I mean, they really played up to their potential, especially those last two games. And that has to happen. Your players have to play up to their potential when you're playing a team as good as the Blue Jays and you're playing under that kind of pressure in the World Series. So, you know, hats off to them. It's not easy to do twice, and they did it in dramatic fashion this time. And but again, we'll see what they do next year, and we'll see how it pans out. You know, there was nothing low about my payroll and the Mets payroll, and you know, look where we ended up.
See, I'm not hearing the edge that you were looking to hear and the frustration, or I don't want to say he doesn't care, because I do believe Hal cares.
100%.
But not to the level that...
He's not us. He's never going to sound you or me. I mean, he's just not wired like many of the New York Yankee fans are in terms of just that visceral personality.
Or his father. It's Pops, of course. You hate to keep going down that road. He's not George, but that's who he's going to be compared to because that was his father. And when George owned the team, he'd come on and he'd be ticked off and heads would be rolling. And he'd say, this is not good enough. I don't want to hear about the payroll. I don't want to hear about the Dodgers. I don't care. We need to build a better team so we're the world champion. That's what the Yankees used to be. And now Hal's just like, well, I mean, the Dodgers, you know, they had a great World Series, but they played up to their potential.
And they got healthy at the right
time.
What
are you going
to do? I mean, you know, it's funny because, and we've talked about it a few times here today, the Alex versus A-Rod documentary, really so much, at least, he thinks that medical professionals think that a lot of Alex's issues stem back to his dad abandoning him when he left at the age of 10, right? Up in Washington Heights, and then eventually when they went to the DR, and then things really disintegrated when they went to Miami, and then he left, right? So, and Alex has owned that and, you know, made a lot of mistakes. Many probably derived from that hole and that abandonment that, you know, if you look at psychology, that definitely connects. As much, we know Hal's never going to be his dad, but I think in a lot of ways, maybe he's trying purposely not to be his dad. Because as we sit here and glorify George, right? You know, the championships, whatever it takes, George, the military, you know, he loves this and that, and we love all that about George. But there was a lot about George, if you're old enough, that you couldn't stand. And I'm raising my hand right there with you, incredibly frustrated with George. Now, imagine being George's son, you know, growing up in that kind of environment. So maybe it's a purposeful separation from his dad's personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Either way, to me, it's just the results aren't good enough. I get that winning 94 games is great. I would like to see a little more frustration and irrational behavior. I get that you also want to see rationale from front offices.
Yeah.
The Yankees are at a point where we need to see a little irrationalness.
I like the way you frame that. And you know what? Let me just push the very basic psychological evaluations aside, since that's certainly not my lane here. It's just my opinion. It could be onto something, maybe not, whatever. One thing that he did say about the base running, and this is a problem, right? So, you know, we changed some coaches. That's going to be addressed. Okay. Does anybody think that a new coach is going to get Jazz Chisholm locked in on the bases? Right. The answer is no. Does anybody think that a new coach is going to get Austin Wells, who just wandered off a second base, not knowing how many outs there were, to be a more locked-in base runner? For me, the answer is no. And these are fundamental issues that have permeated the organization forever. Richardson, the old Mets.
Yeah.
You could put Richardson at first base, and the Yankees probably still have some issues running the bags because a lot of their players, and now some players they brought in have been better. Bellinger's better, obviously. Even Goldschmidt was older and slower, smart base runner. I get it. They did make up some ground in that department, and they caught the baseball better. But I've always gone back to the guts. If you lift up the hood and you get to the engine of the Yankees, we focus on payroll and free agency. I've always thought it's deeper than that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28. In-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.